want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
You gotta wake up to a world that's real. You gotta rise up and make it feel. Life in full measure is more than just pleasure. Wake up and live. You gotta wake up to a world in need. You gotta get up and begin to lead. A life in full measure is more than just pleasure.
Good morning, this is Michael J. This is the Reveille Program, a wake-up call, and I'm your host. Today, 19 October 2020. Wow, it's been a ride. It's been an amazing past few months. It's been an amazing time. This is our time in America. This is our generation. This is what we have been given. In the sovereignty of Almighty God, we're brought to this very moment in our lives. No matter how old we are, time is racing towards us, as I've said before, at 3,600 seconds per hour. And we're encouraging each other, that is, those of us that have been encouraged. We're here to exhort one another, that is, those of us that have been exhorted and helped, to believe that God's sovereignty is bringing about something that we have been led to pray for. This is the Reveille Program, a wake-up call, and I'm encouraged to say, wake up! Wake up, you that are concerned about an ongoing season of terrible darkness, wake up. Realize that the sun is coming up. There's a scripture in the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, that says that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Before we go on, I'm going to acknowledge our Heavenly Father. I can do this with a faith that has been given me by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of my faith, who lives in me, who caused me to be born again by speaking living words into my life so that I was translated out of a kingdom of darkness and unbelief into a kingdom of light and a holy faith that works by love. He loved me so much, he died for me. Because he led a sinless life as the Lamb of God, he paid for my sin. He tasted death for every man. And 3 days after he went into the grave, that is 3 days in the natural with respect to what we count in time, he was raised from the dead. There is going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's going to be a place of judgment. Those that have been given a saving faith in Christ and abide unto the end will hear the Lord say, "Enter thou into the joy and rest of the Lord." How can we understand the things of heaven when we can barely understand the natural things that life is about all around us? Many people have a totally incorrect view of our physical realities, are the reality of what the earth is. Many people have been listening to lies all of their lives, and the lies that were that are being perpetuated began in earnest around the 1500s about the nature of creation. Many people believe that we went to the moon when the moon is not what we think a moon is. Our moon is a light in the firmament. In the very first chapter of Genesis, it says that God placed the sun, the moon, and the stars in the firmament. And the firmament was there to separate the water that was above from the water that was below. The reality of our existence is that something has troubled the scientific community to a place where they, and I think a lot of it is compartmentalized, they are realizing that the nature of temporal reality seems to be more like a hologram. Three- and four-dimensional hologram, maybe even five if we consider that outside the hologram is something that is not subject to time. It may be that people are toying with quantum physics to try to understand what it means for a temporal snow globe to exist inside a something that is not in time, but actually it's something that doesn't what? Decay. Yes, there. Yes, we see cycles again and again, the seasons and whatever, but there seems to be a decay that they describe as the second law of thermodynamics. What is it that God has done in creating a situation where there is time, there are temporal experiences of life, there's birth, there's death? God, let me say, in my interacting with certain other people on the internet, God has let me say, this life is not about this life. If we're talking about time being a space, a phenomena, something of multiple dimensions that continues to evolve, not in the creative sense, but in the sense of the earth is getting older, people are born and die, and a cycle continues, but this is not, you know, 1000 AD. It's not 0 AD. It is not 1000 BC or 3000 BC. What we're looking at, for people that actually understand what the Bible is talking about, is when time started, it was approximately a little under 6,000 years ago. When time started, it was when Adam, our first father, we're all of one blood, when Adam lost the glorious estate he had been given as an eternal being. And he had been given sovereignty of the whole creation. Why? Well, God made him in his image. And when Adam fell, death came into the creation. And the Lord allowed that people were given an opportunity in time, and people were given experiences in time that would actually be judged outside of time. When time is no more, all of our lives will be judged by eternity. That is, in certain instances in Holy Scripture, the Word of God makes it clear that God saw the end from the beginning. He's outside of time. He knows exactly what's going to happen, all the way to that place where not only when time will be no more, but as an eternal being, he has existed. He has always existed outside of time, in eternity, as the creator of every part of the creation. He is outside of time, outside of the creation. He has always been and always will be. So he created something that allowed him to have children made in his image. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you today for your mercies. I praise you, Lord, that you have allowed mercy and caused mercy to triumph over judgment in the lives of millions and billions of people. Lord, that even those that do not know you have benefited beyond our ability to measure. Lord, every single breath we've ever breathed, even before we were born, was a gift from you. Every single heartbeat, every single meal we've had, every single meal we've missed, was a grace in our lives, Lord, because, Lord, you are good. Lord, you're the one who sets a table before us. You're the one who has allowed us to experience our joys and our sorrows, the reality of our being. You have given us our very existence, Lord. We pray, Father, today, Lord, give us more of your Spirit. Reveal yourself in new ways to people. Lord, give us eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand. Lord, reveal your salvation to us through your glorious and holy Son, who was the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who tasted death for every man, and then you raised him from the dead so that you could show that there is a resurrection. The just and the unjust will be raised up, and your people will have on their side of the scale, they will have the weight of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, declaring us innocent by virtue of the gifts of faith you have given us, that Jesus is our righteousness. He represents our forgiveness, and we are finding our life in him. We pray, God, reveal yourself today. Pour out your Spirit in all flesh, Lord. Let the nations be sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, and all of the governments in the world, especially, Lord, the wicked deep state that infects the body politic of America. We pray for the help of God, even the Almighty God, through faith in Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, the Savior of all mankind, especially those that believe. Amen. This is a call-in program. I want to acknowledge our producer, Mitchell Bupp, a man of God, a man that God is talking to and changing as he is many of us from glory to glory, because you can't hear the Word of God and not experience being changed, because the Word of God imparts faith and life. The Word of God reveals the love of God, as it is written, those who love are of God, for God is love. And the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into the hearts of those that believe and have received the good news. As it is written, if Christ died for all, then all were dead. And people that believe in Jesus Christ receive eternal life. They are born again. It's important for people to get physically baptized. Why? Well, the Word of God says those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. That's not about just It is not about, you know, whether or not you will go to heaven if you believe in Christ and you haven't been baptized. That's not what it's about. When Jesus said those that believe and are baptized will be saved, maybe it was Paul, excuse me, but the reality is it's an act of obedience. People were baptized into faith in Christ, and they were identifying with Christ in his death, burial, going under the water, and resurrection, coming out of the water, confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord. If you haven't been physically immersed, we're not talking sprinkling here. If you haven't been baptized since you were sprinkled as a child, consider this. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Did you believe as a child when you were, what, eight days old and christened? How could you believe? Does it mean that that a family can't have a covenant with God about, you know, an act of faith? I believe it's important to dedicate your children, but the reality is, can a child identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection? I believe everything that we encounter in the sphere of spiritual truth has to be augmented with God's ministry to us so that we can increase in our understanding and find more grace. I believe it's really important for people that believe in Christ to say, I have been baptized believing and I have identified myself in that belief. How many people in the Word of God were sprinkled by John the Baptist or by the disciples of Christ? You don't see it. Now, children are circumcised on the eighth day with respect to that Hebrew faith. Now people mutilate the genitalia of young boys automatically when they're being born, which is a terrible cruelty. But the issue is, baptism, physical baptism, water baptism is analogous to a circumcision, but it's a different kind of circumcision, not in the flesh. We're identifying with Christ and dying to the world. It's analogous to a circumcision of the heart, not of the flesh. This is a call-in program. 540-352-4452. Give Mitchell Bupp a call. Give him your name. And he'll bring you into the program if you have something to share today. I have entitled today's program, The Generation of Separation is Upon Us. I began this series of thoughts and conclusions and expressions of my point of view last week. Our nation is in the valleys of decision. It's interesting that different regions in America seem to have a different reality. There is what some people call flyover country. There is what some idiots have called a place where baskets of deplorables reside, abide, and stand fast. There are blue states, so-called, and they're not really blue. Have you noticed that almost everything, excuse me, that the liberal deep state sociopathic communists say is based on lies? Have you noticed that? It's an amazing phenomenon. It seems that most every single thing these poor fools say has its root in dishonesty. These are manipulative, sociopathic, narcissistic, deceived people. I have in times past, just been a little more graphic and call them a bunch of dung beetles because I see what they feed on and what they try to share with others. The reality is a lot of people are acting like refuse because they have refused to accept the good news of God's salvation. Jesus Christ, my Savior, came to save sinners, and my testimony is he's saving this guy. He's already saved me. He's saving me. He will save me because he's my Savior, and he saved someone from the horror of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And in my flesh, I was breaking probably every single law there was before I was 20. He delivered me from evil. His blood washed my sins away. I still have the sinful nature that is the flesh, yes. Like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And when the Lord revealed to me that by virtue of giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ, I was exercising my liberty and declaring that Christ is my life. Christ has become the core of my being, the source of my faith, the foundation. He's the rock that my life is built on. When I saw that I give thanks through Christ, and it wasn't for me, excuse me, it was not me trying to be righteous. It was me acknowledging that the Lord is that righteous impulse, that righteous expression of life in me that pleases God. Praise God. Our nation is in the valleys of decision. The lifestyles and social movements that have emerged, moving from covert introductions by small groups of change agents, these movements are turned into popularized trends that seem to instantly fill the social landscape with new levels of escapist fantasy. This has been normalized. It's become a type of moral nihilism. When you listen to the insanity programmed into people in the public fool system, where they're hitting people with milk cartons filled with hardened cement, or bashing people in the back of the head with a 2x4, saying we have a right to hate the haters, you can see that their life is so devoid of moral reality. You have to come to the conclusion that they needed help to get that far into their delusional fantasies of having a meaning, a moral significance in life. When you see people getting their teeth knocked out by wicked sucker punchers, as recently happened in a freedom of speech rally. That is, godly people, people I personally know were there in San Francisco declaring that the First Amendment is worth defending and that people have a right to demonstrate, but they don't have a right to be violent sociopaths. This vicious monster comes up and knocks a man's teeth out with a sucker punch for saying we have a right to express our views. Why? Because sociopaths don't believe in rights in the individual. They believe in the privileges they gain by selling themselves as demonized whores to their masters who are paying them to be immoral monsters that are willing to do violence to anybody who believes that individual rights are worth defending. These people are part of a mindset of a demonized herd. You know, like the herd of swine that ran terrified down into the sea when the demons went into them from the demoniac who had that host of demons called Legion. Yeah, that's right. These people are allowing themselves to be turned into vessels of wrath, not against people that are lawless and are a real legitimate threat to our culture and society. No, no. These people are released in violence, in strong delusion. They're released in their love of money and their hatred, their self-hatred that they need others to be a target to project their self-hatred onto, that they can be violent, sucker-punching cowards, because they'll only operate in a mob. They'll only be manifest as a herd of swine that will rend and tear you if you try to share, you know, a gracious truth with them. Their contempt for truth is their contempt for the Almighty God and people who believe that it's only where the presence of the Lord is that there is true liberty. I personally would not have had a rally for freedom of speech in such a demonized culture as downtown San Francisco and trusted those so-called police, I call them public serpents, trusted the police to protect you when the police in San Francisco, their job is to uphold a government that promotes every kind of perversion, murder, child trafficking, MS-13 drug pushing. The streets are filled with needles and excrement. Why would reasonable thinking people want to have a freedom rally in that hell hole? Like the Lord said, don't cast your pearls before swine. They will turn and rend you. They have normalized a moral nihilism that seems to herd people into a group mind that frustrates most attempts at holding onto meaningful moral social traditions. That's right. They don't want social traditions. They don't want moral social traditions. They believe that let's destroy everything so we can rebuild it in our image of mindless chaos. Are these truly thinking people? Do they have a moral vision for a moral America? No. They believe in sodomy and fornication and child sex and bestiality. They believe in that you can be a good Satanist and have your secret sacrifices, because they believe that the lust that's in the hearts of men and augmented and actually manifested when they allow those demons of lust to come in and transform them into adrenochrome addicted monsters, they believe that that is freedom. Can you really believe that people who are so identified with deception can receive the truth. The Word of God says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus was the incarnated truth. And the wicked, the demonized wicked people, the mob that was stirred up by a bunch of religious hypocrites, demanded that a thief and a murderer named Barabbas be released instead of the Lamb of God who had been healing people and raising people from the dead. See, when the truth gets a hold of you, and that the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God is sown into your heart, and the roots are encouraged by the washing of the water of the Word, and God starts doing something in your spiritual heart. It's not the heart of a wicked man that is bearing fruit. We're given a new heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, and all things are of God, who has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. You can't share reconciliation with God with anybody if you haven't experienced it. Hallelujah. When you're a new creation, you're literally a new creation. When you're born again, you know it. Hallelujah. When God gives you the grace by the encouragement of Holy Spirit-filled words to receive the grace you need to confess your sin and say, I renounce it, I reject it, I confess it, I repent, please cleanse me by your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Amen. When the Lord does that in you and takes away your sin and your unbelief, you know that you've been changed, that God has given you a new nature. So they want to create a group mind in people that can be easily led because of their self-hatred and their nihilism, because they're looking for meaning and love in all the wrong places, let's say. This group mind frustrates most attempts at holding on to meaningful, moral, social traditions. That's why they destroy statues. It doesn't matter if it's the statue of a good guy or what they consider a bad guy. They just want to destroy things that they don't understand and are meaningless to them. In making the past traditions of moral standards and historic landmarks that memorialize our national and cultural accomplishments meaningless, in making all these things meaningless for others by destroying them, this is about stealing the foundations of a society and a culture. Stealing, destroying the foundations of a society and a culture. Now, look it. There's nobody in our culture that is without guilt. Every time we don't say anything about the violence, the psychological, moral, social violence that happens, every time we go along with lies, we become complicit with the liars, even if it's under duress. This is why so many people are saying, no, I'm not going to wear your filthy mask. I'm not going to let you cause irreparable brain damage by forcing me to rebreathe my carbon dioxide and the other gases that the body is getting rid of in the amazing process of oxygenation and toxic elimination that we call respiration. They want to destroy our understanding so badly that they created this lie that automatically implies that we have an inadequate immune system to deal with a so-called virus that has a 99.5% survival rate, and even higher in people that are younger. Oh, yeah, your immune system isn't good enough. You need to wear a mask and practice socialist destruction and socialist contempt for society and culture. Don't get any closer. Put a mask over your face. Be muzzled for your own good. So I'm looking around at these people around me. Some of them on exercise. I mean, exercising on these 21-speed bicycles wearing a mask. When doctors' reports are coming out that a mask cannot stop a virus. You want to stop a deadly virus? Go to stage 4 protocols with a totally enclosed, hyper-filtered oxygenation system strapped to your back. And make sure it doesn't get torn on a sharp corner. Yeah, maybe you can stop a virus there. People early on began to understand trying to stop a virus with a mask is sort of like putting up a chain link fence so fleas won't come in your backyard. This is idiocy. It is programmed stupidity. And you're going along with it. People have been threatened out here in California. You're walking around outside without a mask. $1,000 fine. These filthy, thieving, lying bastards don't know how to do anything good because, like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. But as far as they're concerned, they're going to pretend to be better than you because they got the power. Bastards with badges, gunslingers hired by socialist corporations that pretend to be the government of America, but don't have any moral foundation because these people, when they take an oath to get into office, they take an oath before a God they don't even believe in. Now, it's different from people who, like myself, when I took that oath, in 1970, for the first time, I did believe in God. He had rescued me. He had intercepted me as I was racing towards hell because demons were tormenting me day and night. He rescued me, delivered me. I experienced deliverance from demonic entities that were trying to kill me. I had, by my behavior, invited them into my life by my sorcery, my lawlessness, my fornication. I had invited these demons into my life and they were destroying me. And you can see people around you that have demons in their life and they start defacing who they are. Many people that pierce themselves and have tattoos all over them. This is an attempt in many cases, not in all. This is an attempt to try to regain control over their life by defiling the temple God gave them. And I personally believe that the pain of these tattoos and piercings is something that is sort of like what certain people do when the inner pain is so bad they start cutting themselves to distract, to kind of take away from the inner pain that they're feeling, so they allow themselves to feel exterior pain as a distraction and replacement for the inner pain they're feeling because they're experiencing affliction based on their behavior. And they can't, in themselves, they can't change. That's the amazing thing. We can change, but it's only because of graces that visit us, that are prayed into our lives by others. We can change our behavior if there is grace for us to hear a voice that calls us higher and lets us believe we can be forgiven. But the law of sin and death has to be broken off our lives, and that happens by a spiritually dynamic ministry of people interceding for us, or our own intercession in the presence of God, where we say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? Because God can hear that prayer now. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When Jesus died and the blood came out of that body, that holy body, the veil of the temple was rent, because the temple was a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inner chamber where the Holy of Holies was, where the mercy seat was, the propitiation, that was Jesus. And the blood of the Lamb made a way for people through faith in Christ to go into the Holy of Holies and meet with Almighty God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The blood of Jesus continues to minister, continues to say things better than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood was crying out for God's justice against his murderous brother. But the blood of the Lamb was a manifestation of the very words of life that came out of the mouth of our Savior when he said, right before he gave up his spirit into the hand of God and descended into the lower parts of the earth, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It seems that losing our moral social values causes us to deny that other people have a right to believe that their lives have any moral boundaries, or should have any moral boundaries, or meaningful moral standards. You know, like, you shall not bear false witness. Try to find an honest politician and tell him, God's going to send you to hell because of all the lies you have spoken if you don't repent. Can you go up and shake hands with a creature like Bill Clinton? A horrific, adulterous, fornicating sex criminal? And tell him, you know, if you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed in hellfire. And all the demons that you have accommodated will be released to do to you what they've wanted to do to you from the beginning, to destroy again and again and allow you to experience in yourself reaping all the pain and agony you've caused in the lives of other people. That's before the lake of fire. So what does it mean? Have a spiritual soul that's spiritually dead, but still it's live. It hasn't been born again, but it has a a life that's eternal. It has an eternal existence. What happens when people go into hell and are pierced again and again, and where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, and they're being tormented by these entities that are there, these tormenting angels? Unspeakable cruelty. Cruelty that can only be called atrocity. Well, does our soul have an accumulative nature? Are new wounds and rips and tears and pain accumulative in an entity that was that the Matrix is originally made in the image of an almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God that is without limits? And are all those wounds that are being accommodated or accomplished against that sinner open to the lake of fire? So the deep wounds are then permeated in the lake of fire? This, for me, is a horrific consideration and imagination. Let's hear what the Word of God says. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Now, what about those that hate God? What about those that God hates? Yeah, there's plenty of people that God hates. Hell is filled with people that God hated. The Word of God says that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day, and the Lord hates the wicked. This seems to be, you know, contradictory, because the Word of God says God is love. But the Word of God says, love the good and hate the evil. When people continue in evil and become identified with it, so that is their, that becomes their nature. Like the Word of God says that in Genesis chapter 6, that, or was it chapter 9, where it said, so the thoughts of the hearts of men were continually only to do evil. So the Lord destroyed them in the deluge. If you enter eternity as an evil entity, a soul filled with evil, well, eternity is about reaping in eternity what you have sown in time. The Lord lets us understand what real regret is. He shows us, if you know where to find it, he shows us what happens when we're in a place where there's no way of escape. You can't even warn your family in time, in the creation, not to do what you did, or tell them to do what you refused to do, and your regret accommodates more than what you are suffering. Do people have the ability to hear the warnings of God if God doesn't give them grace? No. They can hear without hearing. We can see without seeing. We can have a heart that does not understand, cannot be open to life-changing truth. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. I'm exhorting believers also, because believers can easily walk in a place of presumption because they know things in their head. But in the hypocrisy that our flesh accommodates, we can be walking contrary to what we know is right. We can be walking in those things that we knew were wrong, but after our conscience is seared, it doesn't seem to be very wrong anymore. By the grace of God, I can say I know that's true. I've walked in that strong delusion. And God has been having mercy on me and giving me grace to confess where I thought I was okay, but I wasn't. Last week, I talked about the amazing concept of being an individual. The Lord in the beginning said it's not good that a man be alone, you know. And God has exhorted us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And this doesn't mean, you know, necessarily getting together in a place of with hundreds or thousands of people or whatever and worshiping the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. If it happens, and that that gathering is being properly brought into the presence of God and with holy praise and calls of repentance and ministry in the body of Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But it can be just two or three gathered in the name of Jesus, so he begins to fellowship with you. He begins to give you the love that your brother or sister needs, and give them the love that you need. Sometimes it's just in, you know, making room for each other, letting a brother or sister speak words that will be them ministering to you. See, the individual is the key. The individual. What does the Lord require of you, O man, but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God? He's not talking with a group of people there. When God spoke to Job and his so-called friends were there, not really comforting him, but making room for the accuser of the brethren to come in and say, hey, this is because of something you did, Job. When the true story of the book of Job is that God allowed Satan to do what he did to a man that was walking in the fear of God humbly, and the Lord was bragging on him. Have you beheld my servant Job walking in the fear of God and in righteousness? In some ways, the words of truth provoked the devil because he can't handle the truth. And God let the devil attack Job. But when Job was in the midst of it and going through it and enduring the best he could, he wasn't totally perfect. But, you know, Job had said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to come through this trial as gold. Why? Because his faith wasn't in himself. It was in God, his judge. Did he have perfect understanding? No. And when the Lord came in the whirlwind and said, Job, stand up like a man. Those words that God spoke caused Job to stand up. All of his pain, all the boils, all the horror he had been suffering were all of a sudden cut short. What I'm trying to say is, the imposing presence of the living God speaking out of the whirlwind to him and in the face of his friends was a godly reality check. Hallelujah. Stand up like a man. We need to receive the grace that God wants us to have, just to receive, so we can be men of God. It includes women. I've seen more women with moral courage in this battle in many areas than I've found men. They're standing in the gap. They're more than making sense. They're actually encouraging people to understand. They hold the wicked liars in contempt. So what happens? Well, Twitter and YouTube shut down their channels. That's what happens. Remember, it was Mary Magdalene that was not afraid to go to the gravesite of the Lord Jesus and meet with the Lord on the day he was resurrected. The disciples were hiding. We'll be right back.
Message. anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
This is Michael J. again on the Reveille program. I'm very grateful for Revolution Radio. I'm grateful for my producer, Mitchell Bupp. I'm grateful that there is this space that I believe was put here by God. God is sovereign. And he's given us this opportunity to share at a level that people experience a certain level of freedom. As if you've heard me in the past, I'll let you know that there are people on Revolution Radio that don't know the truth. And they promote things that are contrary to and neglectful of the things of God. Some people think that considering God is about religion. They'll tell you, we don't want religion here, you know. We believe, you know, we're free to think as we do. And I agree. I mean, when you can't comprehend the truth, you can't comprehend the light because you're in darkness. It doesn't have any meaning to you. The things of God are foolishness. The work of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, and the word of God is a being. The word of God says, the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Remember the 23rd Psalm? He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When the word of God is at work in your life, you can say to the enemy, if he's tempting you, it is written, man will not live by bread alone or by sensuality, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But when the Word of God is this living being transforming your life so that we're your experience being changed in little glorious ways, being changed from glory to glory, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. When God is changing your life, it's like, wow, Lord, I didn't know you could do that. Like the word of God says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. And we love God because he first loved us. If you've ever experienced the love of God in your life, received the grace you need to be forgiven for your unbelief, for all your fears, for your selfishness, if you have ever experienced forgiveness from God, that was God changing you by the word of truth. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth. Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me, except by me. That's what Jesus says to us. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is not an intellectual concept. It includes the use of the intellect. But the word of God says, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He leads in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You have to consider that God calls us to walk with him in our lives. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee. The word of God says he gives grace to the humble, but the proud he knows afar off. It's not like we can go anywhere where God doesn't see us. The eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. When the Lord showed me this next scripture, it blew my mind. See what it does in your life. For the Lord made all things, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That's right. The Lord allowed wicked men to put his son to death. And yet the Lord took the greatest crime that mankind ever accomplished against the Lord, and he made it work for our good. That is, for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. The murder of the innocent Lamb of God was a crime accomplished by demonized, self-righteous religious hypocrites who couldn't handle the competition. They were so upset about what God was doing that they wanted to put Lazarus to death because he was promoting the reality of what the salvation God was offering in Christ. They couldn't handle the competition. Well, the world is the same way. I mean, We don't need religious people. We aren't filled with superstition. And what religion is it that teaches that kind of demonic hatred for what, for the free gift of salvation? It wasn't free for God. It cost him being cut off from the one he had known throughout eternity. As the Lord experienced the shame of becoming sin. I've spoken with people about the trials that God has allowed me to experience. The greatest trial in my life was the Lord allowing my wife to be killed by some incompetent people that call themselves doctors in John Muir Hospital. And I found out since then, it was confirmed that their policies of euthanasia are SOP. Hospitals all over the nation and maybe all over the world are doing this. They're killing people. Especially if they don't have insurance. Come on. They're just taking up a bed we can use for somebody who can pay. But the reality is God calls people out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of error into truth, out of hopelessness into faith, out of fear into love. The Word of God says, perfect love casts out all fear. And the Lord himself, my Savior and your Savior, is that perfect love. He was incarnated love. But as a result of that horrific trial that God used to pierce the depths of my being, piercing through decades of denial and regret and self-loathing and hatred and unbelief. Even though I was a Christian, I had all these things stuffed down in me concerning even those things that I knew I was forgiven. God has been showing me that even though we're forgiven, we need to be find the grace to be able to process what has happened and understand things at a level that allows what God has done, that is my forgiveness and the restoration of my soul. It has to, that is a process. Yeah, he begins it. Yes, he has authorized it. But when he's restoring your soul, that means he has to allow you to experience, in some cases, maybe in all cases, in certain levels, a brokenness so that you can own your responsibility and begin to understand those things that you didn't even want to consider. And that is, for me, the damage I caused to people who loved me because I couldn't, for some reason, continue to believe in their love for me. So I just went deeper into rebellion. The Lord allowed that, and then he allowed a work of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite of God's power to, once I was pierced and had been experiencing the amazing, unspeakable pain I experienced in grieving the loss of my wife, then God did something and he actually did this spiritual explosive operation. It was like open heart surgery, and he began to blow the debris of my grieving and past in over my sin and whatever out of the wells of my heart, where those wells, like it was recorded in the book of Genesis, where the enemies of Abraham were filling his wells up with rocks and debris and crap so he couldn't have wells for his sheep and his cattle. They were jealous. And these were the herdsmen of a different king and his own nephew, Lot. So God blew this debris out of my life and began to set me free in areas that I had not imagined I could experience any liberty in. And the Lord was allowing this to manifest by giving me poetry. Poetry, where I began to actually put into words the beauty the Holy Spirit has had been showing me, that was countering and an expression of his holy comfort in my, in this season of grief. So I'm going to read some poetry now. But before I do, I want to invite again people to call in. If you do call in, don't expect me to stop reading my poem. Just wait, you know, mute your phone or whatever until I finish my poem. And then Mitchell will let me know there's somebody that wants to speak. 540-352-4452. This poem, the first poem, I really like this poem because it showed me God's sense of humor and his, it revealed some of his glory to me in ways that were very satisfying. This poem is entitled "The Challenges Life Offers." Here we go. When a man perceives the things that lay beyond this life's perspectives by the lens of truth and the hearing of Almighty God's directives, he learns his natural gifts and passions are now utterly ineffective to equip him for the spiritual work that God's call for him selected. He finds the choices that contend for his deepest held affections, choices for the natural good, are the enemies of God's perfection. His natural passions, pride and rage, and the grace of their destruction define the field of battle and the need for God's instruction. A natural mind of brilliant gifts has sin's corruption made defective. It's incapable of seeing things that define the Lord's perspective. But the faith of Christ perceives the gifts the Spirit has selected to give to him the power he needs as one of God's elected. Now the man that God has given to perceive the things of Christ has heard the voice from heaven and received eternal life. His heart has been converted and he lives by faith, not sight. He serves the God of heaven. God has called him into light. But the natural life defines the place of trials and afflictions. The challenges to life are found resisting our convictions. The enmity of our natural minds rejects his just restrictions. And only in the crucified is there grace to be submissive. It's in the cross where Christ prevailed, absorbing sin's afflictions, where the heart of man's rebellion has been judged in substitution. God's Son was taught perfection in his suffering, our rejection, as the substitute the Father gave to know our condemnation. The incarnate Word of gracious truth expressed his exaltation, and when our cursed sorrow broke the heart of God's begotten Son, he suffered separation from the one he'd known forever, and tasted death for every man, and cried out that it is done. The Lord gave that poem to me in 2009, 3 years after my beloved was taken from me. And it was a great comfort. The exchanged life is what God offers us. That is, people can have the life of Christ dwelling in their temple. And this was analogous to when the Lord came in to the temple in the beginning of his ministry after he had gotten through the temptations of in fasting for 40 days. He and his disciples went to the temple in Jerusalem and he made a whip. He braided a cord and made a whip and started whipping the animals and chasing them out of the temple of God, overthrowing the money changers' tables, telling them to take their cages of doves out of the temple, and saying, "You've made my father's house a house of merchandise and a den of thieves." So the Lord comes into our temple and does what is necessary to cleanse our temple of our own crimes against God and ourselves and against truth. He starts casting out those lies that we have purchased with our giving ourselves over to them. He starts casting out those areas where we have sold ourselves in the sight of the Lord to do evil. We've made merchandise of ourselves. Some people do that by just staying in the job they have. That's why I call certain people public serpents. They took the same oath I took, and yet they violate people's unalienable constitutional rights by doing their asset forfeiture, bovine excrement, disobedience and rebellion, and showing their contempt for the truth and their hatred for those who want to contend with them, that they don't have a right to enforce any counterfeit law that is not about protecting people's lives, liberty, and property. And that is, well, Lucifer, can you show me what damage I have done against other people's lives, liberty, and property? They can't. You know, if you didn't run over a stop sign because you were drunk and putting other people in danger, there was no evidence of any crime, except, hey, if God allows them to see that you're a danger to others, that's something where, you know, you're a wild card. You're putting people in danger. If you're speeding and sideswiping other people's cars and stuff like that and just taking off, there's damage to people's life, liberty, and property. That's a real crime. If you slip through a stop sign because nobody is around and anybody with two M1A1 eyeballs can see there's nobody around, were you a danger at that moment? No. According to the word of God, an officer of the law has the right to warn you if you haven't caused any damage to life, liberty, or property, but he doesn't have the right to cite you as if he was in, you know, the office of future crime. Oh yeah, you're going to do this. Yeah, we saw that. We consulted our magic mirror and we saw that because you did this, you're going to commit a crime and we're going to fine you because of that crime you haven't yet committed. You might think that this is because we've been accommodating this level of hatred for the truth and this level of dishonesty and theft, false witness, and idolatry, because these people want to act like they're God because they have a badge and a gun. That's called terrorism. Using a threat to change society, the threat of being shot in the back while you're terrified and running away, as some of these public serpent sociopaths have done. They're terrorists. Some of these people are actually bastards with badges. That's right. They're not subject to God and his discipline. And God deals with them as illegitimate. The word of God says you'll know God's children by their fruit. They're not false accusers. They're not thieves. They're not in a RICO conspiracy with their Masonic judges and their Masonic district attorneys. No. If you have a job like this, they want you to take multiple oaths so you can, you know, be promoted. you're in deep doo-doo, and you need to repent. These applications, these considerations are applicable to every part of life in public service, so-called. Because these people, they're not there to serve. Many of them are there to service you. That is to do you in. While they can experience the joy of adding to their retirement. Really? See, God is allowing this defund the police. He's allowing it because there's a certain level of sympathy out there among the public because these so-called public servants are public serpents. They can't be trusted. They're liars. And if they lie in getting you into court, they won't be held accountable for it. Because for the most part, most people can't prove that they're lying. They have ulterior motives called covetousness and theft and hatred. Did you know, loving your neighbor as yourself is actually a very godly thing. Because the Word of God says, hatred is as the sin of murder. If people hate you so much they're lying against you, accusing you of committing a crime that isn't a crime, that creates a stronghold of murder in their hearts. You know, they may not have done anything to you, just, handed you a ticket and said, sign here. But it was an act of malice and self-righteous hatred against the truth and against the rights that are unalienable rights to travel freely and at liberty on public rights of way that your taxes paid for. Because in America, we don't have an expectation of honesty from our public serpent politicians. We become codependent with them. I'm going to read a poem that God gave me for a Thanksgiving celebration because the Lord was... He gave me a family after my wife was taken from me. A family adopted me. And the Lord let me write this poem celebrating that they had invited me to have Thanksgiving dinner with them. A Thanksgiving poem. The gifts we are living are all grace in His sight as we have all our being by the one who gave life, whose glory and power sustains with great might every atom of matter, every part of this life. The gifts of our vision and the glory of light with the colors and contrasts, the dark and the bright, show the blessings of having the miracle of sight, which fills all our being with the colors of life. The gifts of our hearing the sounds of this life with the voices of loved ones in the joys of their lives, with the words that we've spoken with a lover's delight, are the echoes of heaven and another's delight. The gifts of our smelling and our tasting delights are enjoyments that comfort and grace all our lives at the tables that the Lord sets before us in life for His fellowship with us. Is His glorious delight. The gifts of our knowing the God of our lives, who purchased His children with great sacrifice, who measured His love by redeeming our lives, by giving His Son to endure evil's blight. All these gifts echo grace in the faith that delights the Father, whose word has given us our lives, whose love works within those in whom He delights. Who are the gifts He receives with eternal delight. God's waiting for His children to join Him in an eternity filled with an unending and immeasurable glory. With things that we can't imagine that He has prepared for those that love Him. Those that have received the salvation he purchased for us with an immeasurable sacrifice. The Word of God says that the life is in the blood, and the life that was in Jesus' blood is still in Jesus' blood. That blood is still alive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of life was in that blood, and that blood still prevails. It's what God sees when the angel of death is passing through the land. The people that are covered with the blood of the Lamb by faith in Christ are spared. When sin continues to ravage people's lives and they're deceived and they go deeper and deeper into sin, they're experiencing spiritual death, death of marriages, death of families, death of business opportunities, death of friendship, because when we sin against others, we're sinning against God. And the wages of sin is death. Doesn't only mean, you know, the physical death most of us are facing, but it means the death of gifts that God has given us in families and friends and, you know, people we associate with. If we lie to them, if we deceive them, if we steal from them, if we backbite against them, if we refuse to forgive them, the Word of God says you have to forgive others so that you yourself can be forgiven. This can and will introduce death into that part of your life. And how many people are you witnessing, you know, screaming in panic and helpless and impotent rage because of what is that called, brother, that Trump syndrome? Mitchell, what do they call that? I forget.
Trump's derangement syndrome.
That's it. TDS, yeah. You see these people screaming. You know, their mantra is bad. What? Orange man bad. Anything that he's trying to do, which actually, you know, is an expression of the revival of an American concept of real liberty and goodness, they oppose. De Tocqueville said, America is great because America is good. And if she ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. Making America great again is about turning America back to doing what's right and what's good, making America a blessing to other nations instead of turning America, as the globalists want and have done, into a killing machine to destroy the national sovereignty of other nations, which they're doing now, by the way, with this COVID-19 and their plans for the digital vaccination to give people the mark they need to be able to buy and sell with digital currency. This is why President Donald John Trump said the vaccine will not be mandatory. He knows what they're doing. And Americans by the millions are understanding that this vaccine, like the mask and like this fake pandemic, is all a massive deception promoted by people in the grip of a demonic strong delusion that somehow they're going to be able to rule over everyone and they'll have a new normal. Trump derangement syndrome is the evidence of a hollowed out soul that's been hollowed out by sin. If you have hatred in your heart, that is the sin of murder. That's why people can hit other people or knock their teeth out because of the hatred that's in their heart against people who never did anything to them. They're at war in themselves. They're at war against God, and they hate the image of God in others. Why? Well, because the image of God in others is manifest in speaking the truth in love. We have a right and a duty to speak the truth, to resist evil, to hold people accountable. The liars in the mainstream media, all of these people have a seared conscience. And you can notice this because it becomes evident that they are believing their own lies. They're shocked when something happens contrary to their programmed agenda. They're shocked. How did Trump win? We had this locked up. We were going to continue. Hey, they had been paid to speak lies about their 2016 poll numbers. They saw the rallies that Trump had. There's 10,000 people inside the arena and 25,000 outside. They saw it. But they lied because they were selling themselves in the sight of the Lord to do evil. Well, Brother Mitchell, why don't you invite people to call in? They, you know, seems a lot of people are. You know, I've told people again and again, Michael J. is an acquired skill, you know. But if you want to call in, please do. Mitchell, can you invite them to call in the program? They might listen to a Marine instead of this old Army guy.
Now that's funny. Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, this is Mitch. Come on, give us a call. 540-352-4452. Just tell us what's on your spiritual mind, where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going.
Yeah.
God helps us all get on a path. Question is, we're all, well, I shouldn't say the question is, the thing is, we're all on a different path. And, you know.
And yet the Lord says, I am the way. So we're encouraging people to find the path of God, the path of righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
We're all maybe coming at it as individuals, but, you know. I can't say to other people, well, you have your truth and I have mine. No, no, no. Either the truth has me and the truth has you, or we're walking in something other than truth. So keep going. You still love me, Mitch? God is good.
All right. Thanks, brother. No, but we all have different experiences and we all see things differently. And, you know, because of our experiences, you know, I never thought about God preparing me for today with my experiences that I've had in my life already. And, you know, in many ways that has been the case, even though as I was walking that path, I had no idea what God had planned for me in my life.
Amen. It's the Lord's like that. He sees the end from the beginning, brother. He sees what he is going to do. I mean, I'm going to give you a trick question, brother. What can the Almighty God do, whose understanding is infinite, with Mitchell Bupp?
He can do anything.
That's right. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What can God do with us if we say, Lord, let your will be done in my life? You know, your will be done, your kingdom come in my life as it is in heaven. Well, okay, you got it. Okay, that's what's going to happen. And don't be surprised when something happens that you didn't see coming. Hallelujah.
It really is. It really is that. Oh, gosh. How should I say
phenomena,
it?
Phenomena.
Well, God was walking with me even though I didn't acknowledge God and was often very hypocritical. of God because of my experiences that I've had in life. And I felt like God left me down and left me stranded. But I figured out later that he was there and that, you know, I misinterpreted. I didn't think about the power of evil and what evil does, and that other people choose just as you choose, and we can choose to do better. We can choose the light instead of the darkness.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, yeah. I mean, because the light chose us first. The Word of God says we love God because he first loved us. Okay? The Lord is the one that gives us the grace to actually be able to make a right choice, because there are none that seek God, no, not one. There's nothing good in us, but God gives us the grace, like that sinner in the temple who couldn't even look up to heaven, but he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said, that's the man that went home justified because he believed in God who forgives sin. That's an amazing grace right there. You know, that's amazing that the Lord came to save sinners. He's let me see some of the implications of my rebellion, and it's quite terrifying. Quite terrifying. He's allowed me to actually see and understand at levels that I didn't see coming either, but he let me understand how I really, really, truly deserved to go to hell. And it's painful, and yet it was God's grace, because, you know, the Lord paid for my sin. And the Word of God says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? 540-352-4452. My name is Michael J. This is the Reveille program, a wake-up call. And God calls everybody to wake up. He's no respecter of persons. If he helped Michael J., he'd help anybody. Hallelujah. So call in. Give us a call. I'd be glad to pray with anybody about anything. And but for me, it's like, let's get together in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Make room for him to reveal himself by his Spirit, because he said, if two or three are gathered in my name, here am I in your midst. And I can experience God's presence on this program, Mitch. And I can sense, you know, that he's imparting his amazing grace into our conversation. Amen.
Amen. You know, like I said, you know, because of my, because of the thing that happened to me when I was young, you know, I turned against God, but God never turned against me.
Amen. Same with me, bro. I mean, really, the things that, and many of these things were like not intentional neglect. They were just neglect because of decisions other people made. And so that, you know, what I had been given to expect as a child was removed from me. And that created like a very weird subconscious anger that continued to grow. You know, yeah. I didn't understand it, but the Lord knew. And you know, people are fragile. Handle with prayer. You know, we are very fragile. We need to love each other fervently as the Lord loved us. But how can you love others with that kind of love if you haven't received it yourself? We do need to accept God's love. This is not, you know, emotional sentimentality. This is God's grace allowing us to see that love makes our faith work. We have a faith that works by love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing in Christ gives people everlasting life that they experience right now. Right now, I'm experiencing his holy, eternal life Spirit working in my life. I'm experiencing eternal life right now because I'm experiencing the presence of the living God. in my fellowship with his people. Mitch?
Oh, absolutely. Somebody had sent me a link about the, it's a coronavirus vaccine link, I believe. I haven't looked at it yet because I'm doing this, but, my Aunt Elizabeth had told me before she passed away that, about judging a religion and judging things that that you often can't judge those by the people that worship them because they have always fallen short, of that religion. And I never thought about that for a lot of years. And then one day it was like one of those epiphanies that you have. It pops out from the back of your mind and it says, oh, okay, Liz, Aunt Elizabeth, I understand what you were talking about now. But as you said, I carried that anger and that burden because I felt let down.
Yes.
By people that were Christians at that time and that they talked the talk, but they failed to walk the walk, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and sin is very deceitful. And the Word of God says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A lot of people are trying their best, but our best can't cut it because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we can try our best and we can be deluded in our self-righteousness, but believing in the righteousness of that God reveals to us in his son Jesus is a totally different matter. Because the Lord, he said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. The love that God gives us is not, yes and no with respect to yes today, no tomorrow. No, his love is who he is. And when we're allowing that love to work in us so that we can believe, we can receive a faith that works by love, we can receive God's love. It changes us. We get changed, So we have to allow God to author and perfect a saving faith in us, because it's never about faith in our ability to choose. It's faith in God's understanding and his giving us the grace to choose the thing that he is leading us into. You see the difference, Mitch? It's not you making a decision. It's God giving you the grace to recognize this is a decision God is working in you to make. See what I mean?
A little, some. I see it some.
Well, you're a little there, a little. Despise not the day of small beginnings. The reality is, his still small voice will show us the way to go. Like he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll show you a right path. Know what I mean?
Yeah, and he did. But it was then my choice to take that path.
I know, but he had to give you the grace you needed to still make that right choice. You didn't make it because you decided in yourself to make it. The Lord is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if any man will glory, it says, let him glory in the Lord, because he was made for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is my righteousness. So yes, I can make a choice by faith in his righteousness at work in me. Does that make sense?
Partly to me. I guess I look at it more as, this free will aspect that we have, that, we can continue to sin and we can continue to do unsavory or not so good things, or we can choose to walk another path. And Often God gives us.
You can do that in your flesh.
So walk
the
other.
In your flesh, Mitch. That's right. You can. You can walk in your flesh, but to walk after the flesh is death. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. That is, abide in me and let my words abide in you. And you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Or if a man doesn't abide in me, you know, he will stop bearing fruit, and that you will kind of shrivel up because you're not abiding in the vine. See what I'm saying? Yeah, you can make a choice in your flesh, but that will be spiritual death for you. So we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have any ability in myself to make a choice that's about, you know, being led by your Spirit. You have to do it. You see what I'm saying? Confessing,
yeah,
confessing your inability to make a right choice is necessary for repentance.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I spilled my drink.
He's a wonderful God. It's all right. No problem.
I'm not crying over spilled drink, but God bless. You know, and it's not an easy thing to walk and to do because we are living in the flesh, but we're trying to.
That's right.
Walk a spiritual.
Yeah, we want to be led by the Spirit. Lord, have mercy on us. Because with men, these things are impossible, but with our God, all things are possible. He's the one who is the author, that is the one who introduces these concepts of grace and repentance in our lives. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, he said, if a man, Peter was asking him, how many times do I forgive a man if he sins against me? Seven times in a day? Remember what the Lord said?
No,
but you shall forgive him 70 times seven if he comes and asks forgiveness. So the Lord was demonstrating the kind of patience that God has. You know, if we confess our sin, Lord, I'm blowing it. I need your help. Please have mercy on me. I've got no power over this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And that includes being in unbelief and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is the one who enables us to find the grace we need to obey him and to turn away from our sin. And he exhorts us in this thing. You know, cast aside those sins that so easily beset you. That's what God is working in us. That's how he leads us in the paths of righteousness. You know, he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies, these demonic entities who want to believe, you'll never make it. And I've begun to say to the enemy, I'm not trying to make it. The Lord is the one who's getting me through this. And if you have a complaint, go to him about it. I don't belong to myself anymore. I'm not taking care of my own problems. I'm casting all my burden on the Lord so he can sustain me. I'm casting all my care on him because he cares for me. And I am his to save. I'm not saving myself. That's what Paul said. We have a sentence of death in ourselves that we would not trust in ourselves, but in the Lord who has saved us, is saving us, and will save us. You know, and when I'm, you know, looking at myself and realizing I've been walking in the flesh here, Lord. You know, it's not like I'm surprising him. You know, I'm cleansed immediately. I repent, Lord, in Jesus' name, by your grace, because your grace is sufficient. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I have, by the Spirit of God, been demonstrating that I use the Word of God in declaring God's righteousness, God's salvation, and Christ being my life. I am not saving myself. I'm not choosing the right path. The Lord is working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he gives me the grace to choose by the Spirit. To be led, to trust him and not be afraid. Amen? This is really I've really enjoyed this program, man.
Hey, we got about 3 minutes, two, 3 minutes left.
Three minutes. Well, what would you like to share, brother?
2 minutes. Well, I just tell everybody to try to do better, to try to be better, to try to adhere to the Ten Commandments. It's not, it's impossible, but it's not impossible. Because, you know, we have this grace. We've been forgiven if we ask for it through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, I want to encourage people to understand what God did. He talked about it in John. He began, I think, about John chapter 12. He talked about the Comforter. He is with you, but he shall be in you. And that is, he said, unless I go to the Father, he said, it's expedient that I do, because then I'll send the Comforter back to you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. It happened and was, you know, memorialized in Acts chapter 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost is different from being baptized in water. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll experience this amazing grace. When I was, you know, walking through the jungle with my M16 in my left hand, sticking my thumb through that loop and my machete in my right hand, praying in tongues under my breath because I didn't want other people to think I was crazy. But God began to talk to me and show me where the Mayans were and the booby traps when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And we should not try to do anything that, you know, in our call as God's children without the power of God. Peter didn't have the power of God, and he denied the Lord 3 times. But after he received that power of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was as bold as a lion. Praise God. Read about it in the book of Acts. And chapters 1, 2, and 3, when Peter spoke by the power of the Spirit, 3,000 plus people came to Christ in that day. And then another time when a whole bunch more came, but the Pharisees, the religious people, got really upset because James and John, with the help of the power of the name of Jesus Christ, gave a lame man the ability to walk and leap and praise God for the first time in his life because he was 40 years old and he was born lame. This is Michael J. on the Reveille program, A Wake Up Call, and Revolution Radio, saying, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.